Before we begin, allow me, your editor, to briefly apologize. During the course of recording this episode, there was a malfunction in the software we were using, meaning that a portion of the audio had a number of defects to correct. This has been done to the best of my ability, and I hope that this does not impact too heavily on the enjoyment of this episode. And now, we begin again.
All right, and welcome to Back at the Start. I am Sapoing.
I am Kidding On.
And we have our lovely, lovely guest.
Real Nerdy Batman, or Nerdy Batman on regular internet, also known as Dr. Ronnie. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you being here.
All right, I'll sit back and let you guys drive for a little while.
You found yourself back at the start.
So we are here to talk about Episode 5, What Comes Next, a.k.a. the Council episode. So this episode was a little crazy.
Just a little bit.
Kinda crazy. Kinda.
I mean, the crazy started for me, like, Friday, when Zach was like, okay, make these spreadsheets. And I was like, okay. And it just kept spiraling until we saw that beautiful, beautiful, insane episode that we got the next Monday.
Yeah, I'm always happy that I get dragged in for the crazy ones that I am apparently near the front of. So, but I love the show and I love everybody involved. So, yeah, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, I enjoy these like larger episodes. They're so much fun to watch, to see all these people interact with one another, especially those who are like kind of like the main, you know, cast for that episode. So much fun to see. But let's not forget Billy starting the episode. That was pretty interesting here.
Yeah, that was completely insane.
Yeah, that was crazy, especially watching it after the fact, because I had no idea that they were showing that. I didn't know we were starting at 6:30 until I had already gotten there at 5. And like, I was wondering why we were starting late, and then I looked up and I saw the TV and I saw Billy talking. I'm just like, oh, crap. What? Oh, I'm going to have to watch this later on.
And that was a lot to unpack, that introduction. So the previous episode had ended on very much of a cliffhanger, with Billy coming face to face with the man in red.
And getting abducted, yeah.
Yeah, and then things got a little bit more intense. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Very intense, oh my god.
So, what did you think about that moment, about that interplay?
That was such a fun start. You know, Lucas and Zach doing their thing, playing off each other so well. And just the intensity that we were getting from it, from beginning to end, was like, I couldn't stop watching it the whole time. Because I was honestly, at the start, afraid that, like, Billy's going to be gone again for, like, days or weeks. He's going to disappear somehow. And it's like, what's going on? It kind of sucked that it just, like, randomly it ended it so quickly. But yeah, I was hoping that thread was going to keep going for a little bit further.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that he would keep Billy out for all that long, unless Lucas was going to be out of town. Lucas is always there. But yeah, no, I was, by the end of it, I was pretty shocked at how it had gone down for the most part. I didn't really know what to expect, but I really loved how fast it went between them, because it was a really fast just role play between them. And Lucas is always quick on rolling die and knowing what he wants to do and just going off of impulse, because that's what Billy would do. So it was really fun seeing him and Zach interact, especially, I mean, they're brothers, so they know each other so well. So just seeing how well that they responded off of each other with that interrogation scene. I think that it wouldn't have probably worked as well with everybody else. I feel like since it was them one-on-one, it felt faster paced, like a good scene, and it just moved along a lot. I don't know. I liked it.
Oh, I loved it too, but I also love the fact that he tweaked the rules on Lucas, and he had to roll for those adversity tokens. He had to earn them by failing. And so that upped the ante, because we've become very accustomed to the chat being able to like swoop in and save the day with tokens. And that not being able to happen really changed the stakes for me. And it really made it a lot more interesting and a lot more edge of the seat type of viewing. Because there was no guarantee that someone was going to be able to tip it in Billy's favor at the end.
I like that aspect of the kids on bike system where it's like, yeah, if you fail, as long as it's not a critical failure, you know, we're going to help you out a little bit for the next time. And it adds a little bit more tension to the scene, because as he was failing and failing and failing until he was like, okay, now I can use my tokens for what I really need it. So that was definitely a fun moment, just like seeing the game itself being played the way it was designed. I love the chat interactions. Those are just as awesome. And it was funny, we still had someone tip in 2 tokens for Billy anyway, so that was pretty good. It was a force of habit. And yeah, because you want to, you know, give Billy those push-ups to get done.
Yeah, better get those PRs.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying that I don't love chat being able to interact. No, that's one of my favorite aspects of every Hyper show. It was just very interesting to see that dynamic shifted for this particular scene.
Yeah, no, it was good to see them using, like, the regular kids on bikes rules for it. But, I mean, they, I think it was smarter because, you know, Zach had, I mean, they couldn't really do it live with such a big episode right after, because it's just too much to go through. But yeah, it was great.
It was. I'm sure they were quite busy herding cats as that was playing on the screen.
Oh yeah, Zach is a bundle of nerves all the time. Lucas was cracking jokes with Adam and Amir, and the rest of us were just introducing ourselves for the most part to, you know, whoever we were going to be sitting next to and, you know, role-playing with, so.
And eating that dang chili.
Oh, no chili for me. I'm all good.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter at all.
That chili. Yeah. We'll hold off from that. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a crazy moment. That really, yeah, that got all of us really just out of nowhere. And Zach out of nowhere, too, so, yeah.
All right, so after that wonderful scene where Billy makes that choice at the very end with the man in red, we flip over to the debate. And I have to say that I love how they stylized everything, that they've gone to such lengths to make it look like it would have had they actually been at a town council meeting in the early 90s.
Yeah, that's always the thing I appreciate most about Zach and the Hypercrew. First off, all the like new innovative stuff that Zach does to like push everything, like putting Sky inside of a TV, building that entire diner set, building the whole fire department. Yeah, he commits 1,000,000% to this show, and it shows. It's just, especially just being there is just a weird experience too, because I'm just used to a regular living room for an RPG. It's very different than what I'm used to.
Right. It's always cool to look at, like, just the different things they're able to get to. And it's even fun as a viewer, like, when they go to that 4:3 aspect ratio, and it's just like Sepp said, like, it feels like we were transported to the 90s, and it was like, we're watching this happen live. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, with the way that Lucas plays with the camera too is probably the funniest aspect of that show, of that episode, whenever we do a town council, because he's watched a bunch of old ones just to see how messed up they are with their filming techniques. So there are a few times where I don't know if he did it on purpose, but I noticed that he was looking at his phone and he just left the camera on Sohinky for too long, and Sohinky noticed it too, and then he just looked up and moved the camera really fast to somewhere else, or Amir just switched to a different angle, and it was just great. So dumb, but great.
And that's part of what made it feel just so authentic, because you could imagine, you know, the dad they had operating the camera in a 1990s town council meeting doing just that, getting distracted and being like, wait, what, huh? It was perfect.
Yep.
And so then we meet our candidates. We had Mr. Kelvin Lunt, we had Cole Mashaughnessy, and then we, of course, had Mallory Jenkins.
Mallory.
Oh, God.
Did you watch Mallory's campaign video by any chance?
Yeah.
That was awesome. I loved it. That shifted me more to actually voting for him. I was like, you know what? I'll like Mallory for this reason. And then you see the video on Twitter. I was like, okay, I'll vote for Mallory. He got me. He doesn't have to say another word. I will vote for Mallory.
See, I'm still working through a lot of my residual Mallory Malice from Ten Candles. So I'm trying. I'm trying a lot.
Hadn't followed any of the other candidates, so that was my favorite. Just going in cold and knowing nothing about anybody except for Mallory. And, oh man, that was just such a big reveal, like listening to those intro speeches, except for Mallory's. Hearing Colm and Shire's speeches were just, oh man. They were, I'm just like, oh, I'm not going to like anybody except Mallory. And that's horrible.
There's nothing wrong with Mallory. Mallory has done nothing wrong. He's a good guy here. Let's remember that.
Mallory has also done nothing right.
That is true.
Mallory's been torturing his friend by making him bring him back to life over and over again. Mallory is a bad idiot. But a lovable one, I guess, sometimes.
Let's not forget, his dad died.
Ugh.
I don't think anyone can forget that.
How could we ever forget that? Also, he was one of my best friends and he died in my arms. I'm never going to forget that. Ugh, R.I.P. Reuben. R.I.P. Reuben.
That was the funniest thing about the episode. Like, my dad died in, like, what, 50, 60 times? Like, oh my god.
Part of me wanted to make that into a drinking game, but the other part of me knew I had to keep track of things, so I couldn't.
I kept trying to roll my eyes and just, like, take off my glasses every time he said it. Just, like, in case Lucas was going to pan over to me. But that wasn't a problem because for the first, like, 20 minutes of the episode, Lucas didn't realize that I was out of frame, so that worked out perfectly for me. So he kept cutting me off, and I didn't notice it until like near the end of that, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And then he noticed it. Yeah, so a lot of my reactions were for nothing, but that's fine.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That would have been so great to just look over and see, you know, Dr. Ronnie.
Yeah, that was fun. And speaking of videos, you know, when the break happened and we got the other two videos for the other two candidates, that threw me in for a loop. They were both wonderfully done, but I still have to vote for Mallory.
So we have a candidate's opening speeches, and then we get into some questions. What did you think about the questions that were asked? All of the different questions. So we can start with the ones from the council members, and then we can go to the audience questions.
Sure. I didn't have a question like prepared, and I didn't know I was going to get thrown that. Which is why I sort of improvised at that point. And I was just like thinking to myself, oh crap, Zach, give me a question that I was supposed to ask and I don't know where it is. Because I was using my paper, like the show Bible and the paper, the emails that he had sent me from like last time. And there, I didn't know if there was like going to be another character sheet that had something written on it like the other council member did. She was great, by the way. I am blanking on her name because I am better with faces and I don't have my papers in front of me.
It was Kelly Hadley, played by Mandy.
Mandy, that's right. I knew it started with an M. Mandy was great. She was asking questions about the show beforehand. We were going to be polar opposites, and she was like a spiritual healer, and I was an actual doctor. And I had them grab one of the Ten Candles candles from the side of the set to put in front of her, because I figured that she would have a candle and some crystals with her. She thought that she would have a sage candle to try and, you know, get rid of all the, like, energy that was around. But she had a question written on her sheet, and I didn't, so I was freaking out at that point. So I'm just like, how do you guys want to work with the council? Because that's all that matters to my character. But it was, everybody handled all of the questions so well, especially for, like, people who hadn't, like, watched the show regularly. They just handled everything really well, and they had their characters so, like, down pat. And a lot of the questions that came from the, like, audience threw me for a loop and were really great. I just, yeah, I love these episodes. They're just so much fun with all the interaction that we get to do.
I'm not gonna lie. I had so much fun writing the questions because Zach was like, okay, we have all of these characters. Make sure that everybody has at least one question. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was insane for the most part. The amount of questions. My favorite question, laser corn. The way, not even a question, it was more of a thread, a whatever it was. The way he antagonized Mallory was hilarious. And then the two of them playing off each other, it got insane real fast, real quick, and it was hilarious.
Oh, that was the best part of the episode, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And it was sort of the climax that everything had been building to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something else. And like Seth said, that was the climax. Because at that point, the accusation of Mallory happened. And then basically, Mallory's whole campaign and debate went downhill and downhill fast. I love everyone's reading the chat when that was happening and just everyone giving Marcus the nickname Narcus. It was the cheesiest thing in chat, but it was like, yep. I can't wait to see Andre come in for an episode and see what happened to Marcus. Like, since the beginning of the season, it seems like there's so much change that's happened to Marcus that I don't know if it's for the better. He might have been changed negatively, and then him doing what he did to Mallory just added fuel to the fire. It's like, okay, something's not right with Marcus.
He absorbed all of Clarity Prime. That's not going to change you for the better.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, even before that, he was trying to steal people's powers. I mean, I think that he was sort of making that turn to the dark side a little bit just for the fun of it to see what it would lead to. So.
Right. Taking their memories, trying to take their powers, all of that. And then he absorbs Clarity Prime and she was crazy. Let's just go ahead and say it. She might have been methodical.
Well, I mean, it's at the point where he's got so many memories from both of them and so many memories from different timelines. I think it's hard to have Marcus keep control potentially at that point. And how can he necessarily not be Clarity? I mean, how can Clarity not take over potentially?
And speaking of so many memories, what would you do personally if you had the power to steal people's memories and it is stuck with you forever? How would you, I don't know how I'll feel about that. With Marcus, it's just like, he can't forget. And like with Clarity Prime, you know she went through some stuff. Like, it wasn't even the case of like, she was just, no, she went through some stuff. She went to different universes. She's experienced things. So adding that on top of everything from Kolok 8, Universe A, I don't know how is he still standing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm too good at with my memory right now. I can remember too much, and that's already too much. So I don't want to have to deal with anybody else's memories. I'd just probably go crazy.
Exactly. And especially when you compound it with so many supernatural things that both of them have been exposed to. The human mind can only take so much. And we sort of saw part of that in the Gen Con episode. Marcus sort of starting to break a little bit here or there.
Yeah. Not to mention, I mean, keeping timelines straight, keeping other universes straight, keeping hundreds of years of timelines and universes straight. No, that's messed up.
And we can also assume that Marcus now probably has access to whatever information was on the ship that survived from the Ten Candles verse. So you add in that, too. And that's a whole different level of difficult to manage.
From Davina?
From Davina, yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Watch the show, I guess, Zach would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. I think we've all invested too much time. I just finished 10 Candles, so I was asking questions before, because I had finished it the week before that the episode happened. And I was asking all these questions for Zach. I'm just like, so, like, what's going on with this? Like, what universe are we in right now? And he's just like, what are you talking? Stop thinking of 10 Candles. 10 Candles is done. Just think about this. You know what's going on. Just come on the show. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was okay. we ran off the road for a little bit. Let's get back on the highway. And, Mallory, we get the janitor involved. He's snitching on Mallory. Everybody's like, Mallory is a drug dealer, blah, blah, blah. And then we find out he is basically done with the debate. He's no longer eligible, and it sucks for me. Oh, my gosh.
I have to ask you something, kid. Did you really think Zach was gonna let Mallory win?
Okay, no, I did not. But I enjoyed, like, cheering him on.
I understand.
In a prior episode, I was thinking, man, I would love Mallory to be a part of, to be the mayor, so he has a different kind of, like, not, like, information that he has access to, and also just to see how he and Marcus would interact, because we already know the town council in Synchronicity has something going on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is where I'm going to. This happened, especially in this episode, we find out that, somebody's doing some underhanded things.
I can neither confirm nor deny anything that you're saying right now.
You mean Jacob Jewell? We knew Jacob Jewell had done deals with Synchronicity outside of what the council wanted.
Yeah, this is all Jacob's fault.
Exactly.
There was somebody else at the table.
Ugh, Mallory? Right?
That clearly... Yeah.
Not me. Know.
I mean, that Randy guy. That Randy guy's really sketchy.
Yeah, no. Definitely Randy. He's the president. No one can get anything past him. He's not an idiot.
Okay. We already know what I'm talking about. I'm not even going to say the name. I'm not going to say the name. We got one character. We got one character.
Colm. It's Colm.
It has to be Colm.
From both. Not just this town council meeting, but he was also in the previous one. We're kind of talking
the janitor? The janitor? Yeah.
Was the janitor? I don't think the janitor was in both of them. I don't know. Like, let's talk about that. I don't know if you can answer, but was your character, Mr. Ronnie, Doctor.
Thank you.
Doctor Ronnie. What was your character doing? It was implied that he did some shady stuff. I'm just trying to get down to the bottom of things.
Now, listen, I was unfairly attacked, as you could all see in that episode. Randy was just coming at me hard. Nothing had happened. I was trying to help facilitate talk to reinitiate between Synchronicity and the council. So, that's about all I can say thanks to the NDA that I'd signed.
That I appreciate that. But, given, the first town council meeting, knowing that the town council knew some shady stuff.
Oh, no, everything's above board. Everything's fine.
Everything's totally normal. It's Koloth.
I don't appreciate this gotcha journalism that you guys are doing. This is ridiculous. This is, you invite me on here, you're attacking my character, literally.
I was defending you?
Well, thank you so much. This is an ambush. This is ridiculous. Everything's fine. It's probably that Randy guy. That's pretty much all I can say about it.
It was very clearly something going on between Jacob Jewell and Randy Evelyn. We know it was those two. It has to have been.
Thick as thieves is what they are. Yeah.
Okay. I get it. We won't get anything out of you.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I mean, like, it was obvious that, things are happening in the background. And it's, I'm anxious to see, what Zach, or how Zach plays everything out with, showing what's going on with the council. It's just going to be interesting. And seeing, some of the stuff that he has, going on with the story it's just setting up a crazy season two, which is making me excited to see what happens next. So, yeah. But, I mean, everything can change. So, I mean, he has made that very much apparent when I threatened to sell the show Bible.
We're still in negotiations for that, right?
Listen, I have an account on the dark web, and you can just, you know, send me a message on there. That's fine.
The amount we agreed on, right?
No, we'll see.
All right.
There are other parties involved, too. I mean, other dimensions have other people who are, you know.
All right. Play hard to get. It's fun.
Yeah, no, that's how, you know, that's capitalism.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's seeing where he has things, like what he has in the works is pretty cool. I wish I didn't know as a viewer, but, you know, it's great.
It's definitely cool, especially since you were in, like, the two big, large LARP episodes. I'm curious, would you want to be in a episode at just, like, with just the crew themselves, and you're a guest, not involved with a large, you know, group of 30-plus people in there? Would you like doing that by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I know I wouldn't be, like, probably a full episode character. I can see it being, there have been episodes where they bring somebody on for the second half when they end up at like a certain situation or like location that they're going to. I can see Dr. Ronnie being a character for that, but as like a full episode, probably not. I mean, I doubt that Dr. Ronnie would be running around with the kids going on these adventures. I think they would be confronting Dr. Ronnie and I would end up with my ego ripped out of my body or, you know, some other horrible fate. So, who knows? The Shadow knows.
And I think it's really important for us to remember that all of these characters, all of these NPCs, they have a life of their own.
Yeah.
So, having something like that that you know about Dr. Ronnie that's going on in the background, that just adds more realism to this town, to these characters.
And, you know, my motivations when I come in for the episodes. Because you see, like, how everything changed between one council meeting to the next. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Not to mention, everything can change depending on what the cast does during every show. It's nuts.
Right. And speaking of change, should we talk about it now?
Yes.
Kolok Chili Con council meeting? Sure.
So.
Yeah, that chili was crazy.
Literally.
Yep.
So we had someone who spiked our chili, and not just spiked it with, you know, a regular drug. No, spiked it with the crocodile tears.
Yeah.
The same drugs that cause people to melt into piles of flesh that created our own favorite Jimmy Jarter, if you will.
Oh, yeah. That was seeing Abria put that name tag on there was a lot of fun before the episode started. And then seeing Sohinki, like, clearly put it in front of the camera was great.
I'm not going to lie. I want that prop so badly.
No, you don't. That thing is probably toxic right now. That's, yeah. I'm not sure it's not going to explode. Yeah, there's got to be a lot of bacteria building up in there.
It's fine.
Just don't inhale. Please don't inhale it. Otherwise, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Sink or swim.
And so we end up with this chili that's been doctored. With these drugs. And we lost so many people at this council meeting.
Do we have a number count on how many people died? Or no?
Somewhere around here there's a number.
Hold on, I'm pulling up another spreadsheet.
I want to say most people, right?
I feel like it had to be about 20 to 30.
All right, so...
Sorry for making you do math right now. You don't need to. We could also move on.
It's fine.
But it was crazy seeing how many people put their hands up at that moment, because none of us were expecting it, especially everybody who ate chili was just like, just giant gulping happening in the background. Yeah. I was sitting there and wishing, like, man, I wish I could see what the chat's saying right now, because it's got to be just going crazy.
So there were only 14 people that made it out without any toxic side effects.
Okay.
Not surprising. And speaking of that, like, that's what I love about RPGs, because Zach mentioned it himself. He's like, he didn't know where he was going with the chili thing until it happened. Like, it came out of nowhere. It was just like, someone said, oh yeah, I put crocodile tears in there. Like, wait, what? And then he did what he did. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's a real gutsy move, killing, you know, like, 30 characters. And just, especially a lot of them characters created by the chat. So, that's more props to him.
Oh, definitely. just a moment of silence for my own Elizabeth Charbonneau, the lovely reporter played by Emma Fyfe.
R.I.P. I'm so glad she's not going to be shouting answers or questions at me without stepping up at the mic. But I am going to miss Emma. She did so well with that character.
It was a lot of fun to see her play it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was. It's going to be weird if we do one of these town council meetings again. There are going to be so many missing faces or faces that are going to have other disguises on them, because I'm guessing they'll all play other NPCs that end up coming onto the council meeting. Although I don't know if anybody in this town will want to go to a council meeting ever again.
I think that might be the appropriate response. Be like, oh, there's a council meeting? Nah, I'm leaving town. It's cool. I'll be back.
Listen, that's fine with me. That's less questions I have to answer to the public.
Let's not forget, though, everything is normal.
It's fine.
This was last season. It was established, this is normal in Kolok now, essentially. Come on. I think there will be people there. But I would love to see, a city council meeting, all the big names of the city council, the mayor, stuff like that, and have an episode where they're just kind of I don't know why, I want to think about the behind-the-scenes stuff, just where they're just kind of going back and forth, and it's just that seems interesting to me, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's wild. I just keep thinking back to this episode and how crazy everything got. But I think we need to throw, a bigger spotlight on how well Colm and Shire, but I forget, Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Kelvin and Colm, they did such a great job. Those two actors did such a great job embodying those characters so well and role-playing how they would answer that it really blew me away. It was great. It was shocking with the chili and everything, but I was really, after that, I was just talking to both of them and just being oh man, you really made me hate you, Colm. And I really hated Kelvin, too, for what what he meant for my character. But I would have voted for him if he was, if I was a member of, a citizen of Kolok. So, yeah, it was tough.
I'm not going to lie. Part of me wanted to see Colm win just because of how much more chaos that would have brought.
I don't know if it really would. I feel like he would have just been a yes man and just, trying to... I mean, it would have been more of a, toxic vibe around town with, the morals, quote-unquote, that he was trying to, put in. I feel like Kelvin's really going to try and shake things up. But there was a point when I was sitting in that meeting and just listening to everybody talk, and I'm just like, oh, god damn it. I'm going to have to vote for Mallory. Because he's the only person that I can control in this entire room. And that was just, I don't know if you can see it if the camera was on me, but I just got so deflated in it, as my character. And I'm just like, oh, god, no. Please, no.
I have to vote for the 18-year-old son of a bitch.
Yeah. I've got to vote for my friend's idiot kid who most likely has locked himself inside of a room on accident at some point in his life.
May or may not have actually eaten paint. Okay.
No, he definitely ate paint. Yeah, no, it was... I tried to have, a mini relationship with Sohinki beforehand. I'm just like, listen, I'm your father's friend, and, I'm going to try and look out for you as much as I can. But that didn't stop me, multiple times during the meeting, just being like, Mallory, shut up. Just stop what you're saying and stop being an idiot. And just playing back and forth with Kelvin was, my favorite thing. Because I'm just like, oh, he is not saying one thing that is specific. And I am just going to railroad him on this and just antagonize him as much as possible. And I just basically pictured him as Zach and me trying to make him mad. And just kept poking the bunny and then see what would happen. So...
The other two candidates were amazing, too. And I was, like I said before, I was close to, shifting my alliance to one of them. I think Kelvin was the biggest one. Okay, he makes a lot of sense. And, what was it, Sean? I can't say his last name.
O'Shaughnessy.
And he was the religious one, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that, when that started, I was like, I don't know. And then Mallory's just his accusations of him, that was funny. But yeah, I was like, all right, Kelvin sounds the most sane, and he's the most deserving of this. But I actually love what you said about Ronnie wanting to potentially choose Mallory because he believes he can actually control him. And I never thought about that, and that would have been definitely an interesting aspect to that relationship you guys have in the show, where it's like, oh, wait, that is a possibility. You know, Mallory's not the smartest bulb in there, so, you know, I like that. You know, now when you say that, I want that to happen. Now I want Mallory to be married. But yeah, Kelvin definitely, he was probably the most deserving of it. And yeah, he convinced the hell out of me, that was for sure.
Oh, there was a fun moment before we started boarding, before we went live, where Shire, who played Kelvin, was like going over like his speech that he had. And, like, getting emotional, like, silently to himself. And I'm just like, are you okay? And just talking to him, because I didn't know anything about his character. And then he got up and gave that speech, and that was a really good speech. And just, like, that would be a good campaign speech. Literally, that would have been a solid campaign speech. And then, like, at the end, after everything was done, I, like, went up to him, just like, well, I guess I know why you were almost crying when you were, you know, rehearsing beforehand. And he just started laughing. He's just like, yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, it was that he deserves to be mayor. As, like, a fan, he'll bring the most, like, he'll fight for the people of Kolok, and he'll make the most, I feel like he'll make the most actions that'll, like, cause chaos for the council and make this season really interesting, you know, if he actually has any plans on how to change anything. You know, that's Dr. Ronnie talking.
I can tell. It's fine.
Yeah. I slip in between them.
You know, you inhabit the character. It's understandable.
He's just one of the personalities that I have floating around in my head.
Well, we all have ours. It's fine. But no, it was really great, because even though going in, I figured out who my character would be voting for, I still really loved that interplay between all the different characters and all the different candidates. And Mallory, as much as he made me sort of facepalm every time he said my dead dad or some variation thereof, it was definitely entertaining to watch that unfold. You have these two fairly serious candidates, and then you have Mallory just going, and my father, who's dead.
And honestly, like, we've been dancing around it, but Abria did such a great job of being his campaign manager behind him and in his ear the entire time. And I still love, like, since I watched it 150 times, when Laser, Korn, and Mallory got into it, she just holds him back when he starts trying to, like, throw a joke hold. And I loved it so much. She's such a good role player, and she's such a good actor. And, like, especially last night, on the episode that happened last night, but I won't talk about that because that's in the future.
Yes.
She was great on last night's episode too, trying to have her character just get in on everything that was happening to everybody else and feeling on the outside. She's a very relatable character to, you know, people who feel like outsiders. So.
And I've loved watching Laura evolve and how she went from being sort of this one-off character that was mentioned in season one to being part of the main cast and being such a compelling character.
Yeah.
Laura was definitely, as soon as you said that, like, yep, that was my next thing. Laura was the MVP of that episode. She was behind Mallory's back the whole way, giving him all the information, keeping him in check. Honestly, she should have ended up running for mayor, but she's not a native of Kolok.
Well, neither is Colm.
Or Kelvin. Neither of those are natives.
I legitimately, and you can probably hear it on the episode, I asked Randy. I, like, at one point, I'm just like, hey, can I just run for mayor? At one point, because I hated all the candidates so much. And I tried to make it into a, like, an anti-outsider thing. And Zach shot me down pretty quick.
Oh.
And I started asking Colm how many fingers he had.
I would have voted for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't think by the end of the episode anyone would have voted for me with an NDA.
I completely forgot about the fact that they were outside. Yeah, because the rules? They had to at least have resided in Kolok for 10 years? Something like that?
They had to have lived, I think, for 1 year. Be over the age of 18. I think that was it.
I did try to drop little, I don't know, not too many little hints. I didn't really get a chance to. For, like, things to, like, pay attention to. But I feel like there's a lot, if people go back and pay attention to interactions between the council members. I think there's some stuff that you can tell from in there, just from how we interacted with each other and some of the stuff that we said to each other. And like who Zach was talking about when he was accusing me of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah, I don't know. And just some of my reactions to what ended up happening with the chili later on. That's about all the spoilers that I can tell people.
Nope, I understand.
Dissect that video as much as you can. But if it were up to me, I would just tell everybody to watch that Sohinki and Lasercorn scene over and over again, because that's television.
So, all right, guys, any last thoughts that you want to share?
That was a great episode. The madness continues. Can't wait to see more of Dr. Ronnie and the city council, especially now that we have a mayor, however that's going to work out. And yeah, this was such a fun, I enjoyed the large LARPing episodes, because like you honestly don't know what you're going to get, because there are so many unknown factors, so many characters in there. I know it's controlled, might be controlled for like to some degree to help drive the narrative, but like for example, the whole crocodile tears and the chili, that was something that someone just said, you know what, I'm gonna roll with this, and then Zach was like, okay. So like the unknown with so many people in there is so much fun. So I definitely love and hope we could get more of this, just to help kind of get a change of pace every once in a while.
Yeah, 100%. I love being a part of them. I think it's sort of at its like purest with the amount of chaos that's going on in there. I mean, I think Zach is at his most improv-y during that time and just thinking at the top of his intelligence with where to go with everything. Because there was a good point at the like going through it where I'm just like, oh, good. Like, you know, I'm not going to have to talk all that much and, you know, like defend the council or anything like that. And I had thought that Zach had thrown me under the bus and gotten everybody to attack me, but I realized I had mentioned synchronicity. So I was talking to him after. I'm just like, you threw me under the bus. He's just like, what are you talking about? You brought up synchronicity, so I had to go after you on that. And I'm just like, okay, well, you bring up a good point. And just as soon as everybody just started attacking me, I'm just like, okay, how would the current administration deal with questions now? So I just shut down and just reenacted everything I've seen on MSNBC for the last years and deflected all the questions that I could. But I love these episodes so much. Even if I wasn't a part of them, like just seeing all of the interactions with everybody, it adds so much spontaneity to it. And like Gibbon was talking about, it's just a good change of pace to, you know, change it up from just a bunch of people sitting around a table. Yeah, I don't know. It lends to your imagination without, you know, by showing you a little bit more. So that's great.
And yeah, that's an absolute great point. Like these episodes are a wonderful way for them to show, not tell.
Yeah.
And to really dive into what makes Kolok different than a lot of other Twitch tabletop RPGs.
Yeah. I mean, it just lends to how innovative Zach is. And how much he's willing to like push the boundaries of what a Twitch show is and what a TTRPG can be. Not to mention, it gets so much more interaction with the community by throwing all those NPCs that are, you know, user created. You actually get to see your character up there turn to goo, unfortunately, for some of them. But, you know, that's part of the like immersion of it too, and just being a huge part of the community, just being so into it that you actually like, oh wow, this is dick joke that I made about, you know, a character named Mike Hunt, and he is now a main part of the cast sometimes. And Mika got on as a NPC, and now she's one of the main cast members. It's that interactivity that Zach is pushing for, think, shines through the most during these episodes, and I think it helps to like highlight how special this show can be.
Wait a minute, before we go, how can we forget about Herc?
Oh,
how can we forget about Hercules Hunt?
I'll never forget Herc Hunt.
Herc Hunt is what I can't. It wasn't until you said Mike Hunt, I was like, wait, hold on, his cousin. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, Brandon. I love Brandon for all that he does.
Listen, I love Brandon. I literally said that I love Brandon on this episode.
You did. There is photographic evidence that you love Brandon.
I had to go and find it because I didn't. It was too fast. Thankfully, Amir is a great cameraman because he noticed that Lucas panned to me like at the wrong moment when I was trying to show Brandon a sign that I had made on my notebook that said I love my cunt. And there are random times during the episode too where you'll see, like, before I flashed that to Brandon and I got really upset at myself that I got caught.
Aww.
I was randomly talking to Zach like in character. I'm just like, are we really going to put up with this? And I would show him the page that says I love my cunt, and he just looks at it and he just shrugs and he's just like, I don't know what to tell you. And just it was just me trying to make Zach laugh during this very serious episode, and then regretting my choice to flash my cunt to Brandon off in the corner.
I mean, to be fair, everyone always regrets the choice to flash my cunt. Everyone always regrets that. It's natural.
Listen, I was flashing my cunt to Harry, her cunt, and we can all agree that her cunt needs, you know, a haircut. And just to calm down, her cunt is so angry and just needs to just pull it back and understand what the situation is. And like, her cunt is just too hot and bothered.
It's too unrealistic.
Her cunt is unrealistic. You're right. Her cunt is too tightly wound. Ugh. It's just, oh man, so stressed out. But I just want everybody to find my cunt already and save him, because I am worried about what his character is going to be when he gets back, if he doesn't die.
He would never be the same, that's for sure.
No, I don't know if I could live without my cunt.
I don't know if my cunt would ever be the same after what Tibby did to him.
Oh, no. Tibby ruined my cunt. He destroyed my cunt.
I'm so happy I brought this up. Okay.
Oh, yeah. My cunt is so diseased because of Tibby. Yeah. No, he brought in all sorts of bad things from other universes.
All into my cunt.
Yeah, no. Hopefully we have another one of these council episodes and Zach doesn't kill me off in the background of one of the, like, openings. But yeah, I think we really need more of these, and we need my cunt. And we need more of my cunt.
We definitely need more of my cunt and more of these episodes, because I absolutely love making all the spreadsheets. It's so much fun for me.
Yeah, it's great all around. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. We all enjoyed doing it, too. It's so good. A highlight.
So much fun.
All right.
Anything else, or are we all good for the wrap-up?
I think we are all good and wonderful. Thank you so much for being on today. It has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I love the podcast. It's been great to, you know, listen to and just get out all the thoughts that I was having about episodes. As much as I try to, you know, people with Coloc, you know, we try to spread the word, but it's hard to get everybody to, you know, watch Twitch. So it's fun to nerd out.
It is. And it's very hard to get them to sort of meet me on my level of nerd about Coloc and the Phobos saga.
Yeah.
Because I have so much red string. I have so much goddamn red string.
Yeah. But it's worth it. It's so great. I can't stop, you know, and, you know, suggesting it to people. Yeah, it's great. Thank you guys for the work you're doing.
No, absolutely. Anything I can do to help spread the word, I'm going to do it, because this is the best show that I'm watching probably anywhere right now.
Yeah, no, I don't have any other shows that I'm watching week to week because it's 2019. So I try to remind Zach that he's doing a good job and he's got me actually, you know, tuning in every week and paying $20 like I'm at a movie, because that's how it feels like. So not to mention, I need to give Billy tokens so he can get a new PR.
Always. But yeah, it was awesome talking to you. Oh, I tried really hard to get what I could out of you, but you stuck strong, done your thing. The show Bible is still intact.
For now.
I signed an NDA. I can't say anything about it, so it's fine. Even though Zach thinks that I'm going to tell everybody about it, we have fun. We have fun. But thank you again for having me on.
Anytime you want to be here, just let us know, man.
Will do.
And everybody, don't forget, just watch the show.
Watch the show.
All right, this has been Back at the Start.
Thank you for listening to Back at the Start, a fan discussion podcast for the tabletop live play show Co-op 1991 on HyperRPG. Your host for today was Poen, Kid Anon, and our guest, John Renoitis. This podcast was edited by Toki Kero and recorded on the 9th of October 2019. Special thanks to Ray Wise for the introduction and outro soundbite, and to Zach Lim Eubank for giving permission for us to use it. Co-op 1991 is streamed live every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on twitch.tv/hyperRPG, and it's available on demand via Twitch and YouTube. It is also available in podcast form. Just search for Co-op 1991 on your favorite podcasting platform. You can follow us at Co-op Pod on Twitter for updates and to interact with the show. You can also email us at backatthestartpod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. And
you found yourself back at the start.